Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Hey, welcome to the Coco Express Show for Wednesday, February 26, 2014. I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles, and we are live. I know all the shows that I've been doing lately, all I've been doing is talking about the weather and what's the weather doing and how to prepare for the weather, how to protect yourself from the weather. But tonight we're going to let the weather do what it has to do, and we're going to do what we need to do. So with that said, let's get on with the show. A couple of days ago, I was having a conversation with a good friend, and we were kind of talking, kind of catching up with, you know, what's been going on in our lives, because we hadn't had the opportunity to sit down and chat, and you know, finding out, you know, the different things that they were up to, what their plans were going forward, and we started to get on the subject of the behavior of people, why they do what they do or behave in a certain way or not. And what resonated me with in this whole conversation, just kind of like stuck in my head, was the fact that people act based on what they have been taught to understand. And, you know, it's really interesting. It's what have you been taught and that you understand that motivates your actions, your ways. And then I was sitting down and I was just thinking, and I would always remember when I was a kid, my grandmother used to say this, it was like a mantra with her, you know, charity starts at home and charity spreads abroad. And I was, you know, always trying to figure it out. And what I wanted to know was, what is charity? And charity is defined as benevolent goodwill towards or love of humanity. Now, tonight's show, we have with us a living testament of just that. And we're going to have on the show with us Bishop Donald Hilliard Jr. Now, Bishop Hilliard is the current pastor of Cathedral International Church, and it consists of over 5,000 members in three different locations. Through his ministry, and his growing ministry, he remains centered in teaching the word of providing support to the community by the way of educational programs, information on health care, and economic empowerment. These ministries are carried out through more than 50 auxiliaries that are currently active under the Cathedral International banner. And it's really interesting because to be able to just oversee that type of organization, I'm going to say, and that type of structure requires and demands a lot of you. Even if you have an impeccable, amazing staff, it still takes a lot to oversee this. And in 2006, he suffered an illness, and it was a life-threatening illness. And in that illness, I guess it was his season for him to kind of reinvent himself, and out of it came this amazing artwork that he does. And he's joining us tonight, and he's going to tell us about his story and a wonderful, wonderful fundraising event that he's going to be putting on Friday. Please allow me the opportunity to bring to you Bishop Donald Hilliard Jr. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so glad you're back with us.
I'm honored to be back. It's my honor. I've got a little bit of a fighting a little cold, but I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much for that warm introduction, and it's a privilege to be here.
Oh, I'm glad. And I know when we last talked, you had so many amazing things going on, and now we're back again with so many more amazing things going on. And it's just a pleasure to be able to spread the word of all of this good work that you're doing.
Well, thank you so much. We have a lot going on, and you know, we are just, you know, keeping ourselves moving and doing what we believe we're called to do.
That's and I'm glad that you are there. What I did in the beginning, I gave kind of like a definition of the word charity, because for me, that's what comes to mind when I think of you and all that you're doing and this particular event that you have going forward. And I defined it as the benevolent goodwill towards or love of humanity. And I also kind of like tried to put in there that we act based on what we have been taught to understand. Now, would you say that this is who you are and how you become to be who you are and where this particular event comes from?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, it comes certainly from my heart of concern and care, and also which is the sum total of how I was raised. You know, love gives love. And my mother's life epitomized love, and 6 months ago today, we lost her, and we are celebrating and remembering her life. She would be 81 on Friday with the Donald and Elise Hilliard Foundation, the Donald and Elise Hilliard Chapman Foundation. My father passed away 30 years ago, and this event is an event that is going to raise money for children to go to preschool. We heard our president talking about the importance of preschool, the importance of getting an early education. Early childhood education is the key for the decreasing and of eliminating the rising educational achievement gap that is most prevalent among families of lower socioeconomic status. So this event, which is a $100 donation, will give entrance to a wonderful evening of entertainment, of reception, hors d'oeuvres, an art show, entertainment by Leah Joy, actress and singer, and John Gray is the master of ceremonies, and wonderful evening. But any donation to this scholarship fundraiser would be welcomed for the benefit of educating our children. Let me say before I forget and go ahead of myself, that website is www.dahcf.org. www.dahcf.org. And we encourage them to make their donation. So I think that all of us ought to be benevolent, and all of us have been blessed to be a blessing.
Thank you so much. Now, how I understand that, you know, you have all these different auxiliaries in your church, and I understand the importance of Head Start education. I, too, have benefited from that, and my daughter also benefited from that kind of education, and I know its importance. And what I wanted to ask you is, why do you feel that we have fallen so short on that mark?
Well, that was asked in the last interview, and I think, well, I'll give you my short version. I think that the society as a whole has become so self-absorbed and self-centered. We kind of, the little people have fallen through the cracks, and then you have more and more children having children, and they don't necessarily know what is best for those children. And then we are dealing on the political side. You have a government that Mr. Obama and Mrs. Obama are at least and verbally trying to raise the pay grade of our teachers and you know, rebuild our educational system. Really needs a complete overhaul. I'm an advocate of Teaching for America. Many of our teachers are really grossly underpaid, and some of them just lost the steam to teach, period. And I don't know if there's one answer other than the fact that many times once we get finished with our own children, we don't reach back and try to pull another child up. And there are also no more the big mamas are gone, so to speak, the ones who would kind of pull us in and give us a word or give us a direction. And Sunday dinners that we used to have, we all sat around the table and ate Sunday dinner together and poured into each other. And I know I am who I am because of the sense of affirmation and love and just pure concern that my mother gave to my sister and I, and my late father as well. And thus, yeah. I wanted this legacy, her legacy, this is her legacy for children. She loved children.
Oh, that's wonderful. And that is, it's just a blessing that you have the opportunity to be able to create this kind of foundation and organization to help the children in need, our future, in fact.
Right, indeed.
And what I wanted to ask you is, do you feel as though it's history repeating itself? Because, as you know, many, many, many decades ago, the children were left to fend for themselves. And as you know, that the sweatshops were filled with children at the ages of 8, 9, and 10 years old. The orphanages were just overcrowded with children at one particular time in our history. Do you think that we are going in that direction, and if we don't stop with the selfish behavior, we may find ourselves going there again?
I don't think we'll go there. I don't think we will, and that's, I don't think we'll go there because of, we're in this technological age. I don't think we'll go there. I do think that we have given birth to a generation of angry, insolent children who have not felt the affirmation and love of a parent, particularly the father.
That's interesting, because I was having a conversation with someone recently, and we were talking about, the way, people act a certain way or not because of the lack of having a positive male role model in their lives. And oftentimes, you don't really understand it or see its benefits until you become an adult.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and how, there's no way to kind of like substitute that, but how can we work towards helping mend some of that?
How can we help do what, the last part?
Help mend, a way to help with, help that kind of like become something that can be smoothed over a little bit, but help people understand or have more control over themselves and their behavior, even though they
I think we're doing it now. We've got to enter into the conversation. I think we're doing it now. I think each one must teach one. Each one must have something to say. Each one must reach out to another child. We've got to strengthen and build and maintain and desire, make sure that we keep our own families together and build our own, and with the families are not, with the single parent families, do not have to mean dysfunctional families. And, we do need we need the critical presence of the father. We need that presence of the father. And each of us has a role to play. I don't think there's one blanket answer. I think that the issue is so loaded that there is, one conversation certainly can't answer it, but I think us even discussing it today is bringing it to the forefront, and it's causing each of us to think about where we are, where we're headed, and where we're going. And if we don't make a dramatic turn, we're going to be in a great deal of trouble. Because the morals, the traditions, and so much is just kind of sifted through the cracks and gone the other way.
Now, I've read a couple of articles, and I've kind of, I guess, participated in myself as a parent raising a child, and I find that if you can get a child's attention to certain things by the time they reach the age of 5, you really have laid a really fantastic foundation for their learning. Do you believe that?
I do believe that. Yeah, I do believe that. I believe you've laid the foundation, and about that's exactly what the statistics are showing.
That's really good. And what I've and with that in mind, and it also, you know, hones into diet and proper eating and all that other stuff. And they said that there are children who who've had like really bad eating habits, and they were caught by the time they were 3 and changed their whole diet by the time they were 5, and they noticed some dramatic changes in them as they monitored their growth process throughout the years. And the ones that they didn't monitor and let go had higher instances of, you know, like diabetes and high blood pressure, whereas the ones that they were able to catch and change their diets by the time they were 5 years old had better health records going forward. And it's those things that we kind of like really don't pay much attention to that we really should. And how can we? I mean, you are actively and proactively out there making sure that all of this information is spread to the world to let them know. But how can we, as you know, regular individuals, try to do the same thing at our level?
Well, I think you just said it. You know, you just said it. We just do it. You know, we pay attention to what our kids are eating. We change the diet, and I think that's the answer right there. That statistics also show diet makes a difference. Even the prenatal diet makes a difference. Red juice is very dangerous. Too much sugar is very dangerous. So I think you've answered the question right there. We, each of us, in our own small way, have to make our own small change.
Okay, it's easier said than done, because we allow so many other external forces to influence us to go in another direction. And I just, you know, I get a little, I guess you could say, frustrated sometimes when I'm trying to explain, but people just don't understand or get it. And my other dilemma is the simple fact that when you have, like you said, the missing male role model in the homes, what do you do with these young men who are outside and they're desperately looking for a male role model? How do you address them? How do you help them in a society where things are just so difficult to try to approach?
Well, I don't think we can be fatalistic, and we can't be overly we cannot answer it all in one conversation. But I think the fact that you're bringing it up, that's how you do it. You do it. When people say to me how, I say we just do it. You pull them in. You talk to them. Pull your pants up. Hug. Shake my hand. I'm taking my child out for ice cream. Would you like to go? We do it. We just do it because it is there. The problems are there. They're pervasive. And we cannot allow ourselves to be swallowed by the problem, but we must approach every problem with hope and a possibility and see every situation as a possibility for change and transformation, and not have an attitude of fatalism that, you know, there's nothing we can do and it's horrible. It is horrible, but there is something we can do, and it's called get involved. And each one of us getting involved in small things, even just like this, making a donation online right now, will help someone, help a child. Getting involved in the Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, Girl Scouts, Brownies, Little League basketball, reading in after school, library, Head Start, all of that makes a Sunday school, church, all of those things make a difference in assisting and trying to bring in a generation that seems to have grown and gone wild.
That is really, those small things that we overlook that are really important things, because, you know, like you said, I'm going to the store to get some ice cream. Would you like to join me? And oftentimes they look at you like, are you kidding me? And because I believe that we walk past our kids and as if we don't see them, but they're there. And I don't understand why we have this invisible mindset towards our children sometimes. Do you have an idea? No, go ahead, please.
That's a whole other issue. I don't even, we do. And that's because we're so self-absorbed.
Okay.
Yeah, we're so self-absorbed. And, you know, we've shifted so. But, you know, there's a song that says, what about the children? And what about the children? And my mother said, you know, I want every child loved. Every child deserves to be loved. I don't like to see any child unhappy. And she, you know, that's who Elise Hilliard Chapman was. And that's what Friday night is going to be about. And I'm hoping that people will go online to www.dahcf.org, make a donation. And as you said, not just here. Don't let it stop here. This is one organization of many that can help make a difference in a child's life, and I think that is the key, to make a difference and to not lose heart. You make a difference in your child, and we reach out to each other, and the church does its part, and we have to look to the future with hope.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and your mother, she sounded like a wonderful person, and I believe that a certain generation had a different perspective on the children, and they were more open and welcoming to all children. It wasn't just their child. It was all children within their eyesight. They made sure that they were taken care of. My mom did the same. My grandmother was the same way. And I've grown up with that type of mindset. It's just that at times, and I have to admit it honestly, at times I take a step back because I'm not exactly sure how to approach certain situations. And I sometimes get frustrated with myself. I had the opportunity to work in a charter school and just volunteering, and I really loved working with the children, but there were times where it seems as if I was out of my space of comfort. Even though I did have a mission, I just felt a little bit uncomfortable at times. And I'm asking you, how do you overcome that feeling sometimes?
I think you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's like five steps to overcome that. I think you do what you're doing. You just stay there and stay involved and connected. You stay there and you stay involved and connected. You know, much of life is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Life is hard. You know, life is hard. Much of life is overwhelming. And we have to stay right there and make a difference and know that we are making a difference. But I don't think that there is one person that can give one answer. I'll say for me, it is my passion for people, my passion and my concern for people that makes a difference, and knowing that I'm called to this and I will not allow myself to be sucked up, you know,
mm-hmm.
into the problem. But I will, like our mothers and our grandmothers, reach out, because things have shifted. Society has changed. You know, the rules have changed, and the care and the concern, and there are so many children, even the sex trafficking, that's a whole other issue. But we are called to be concerned, called to care, and we are called to make a difference.
Yes. Now, my other concern or question is, how do we prevent our kids from being exposed to media that portrays such negative behaviors and mannerisms?
I think there's your answer.
Shut the TV off.
Shut it off. Put monitor on it. Pay attention. Who's watching your children? You know, turn the TV off. You know, have a safeguard on it. And, you know, somebody's... Who's watching the children, and whose home are they going to? What's going on in that person's home? You know, and that's how we do it. You know, we do it one family at a time, and we just do it. Here's a list. We just do it. We grow up, and we're the parents, they're the children. And we just do it.
Yes, indeed. It's you know, I I guess because of the way that I was brought up, it came as second nature. And it's really interesting when we talk about, you know, understanding our lives based on what we were taught. My daughter has become a teacher now, and she really loves, you know, children and making sure that they're okay. And I'll give you an example. She told me one day, she called me up and she was just so upset, and I was asking, what's wrong? She said, Mommy, one of the kindergarten kids got so frustrated and upset. She said, I don't want to learn anymore. I'm done. She put her coat on and walked out. Mm. And my daughter ran to the door and said, where do you think you're going? She goes, I'm going home. She goes, there's nobody to take you home, and you're not going to get far with that attitude. She said, I'm done. And that surprised me, and she was near tears trying to tell me the story. She goes, it's not funny. What kind of life is she going to have?
Wow. And that's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's reality. Thank God that your daughter is there and concerned, that she's the concerned voice.
Yeah, and I was, she goes, she would tell me things. She says, you just don't understand, Mommy. You don't understand. And I'm like, I do understand. And it's good that you're there. Like you said, I said, you know, they're lucky to have you.
They're right. And this is, you know, and sadly, we're finding more and more about, you know, these. It's also hard when you have a child of 15 years old and, you know, to know what to do. You know, that's also hard. And that's what we're finding as well. And I think that your daughter, my children, actually all three of my daughters are in education. And I think that teachers are angels. They really are. And they are angels on assignment, making a difference in the lives of our children. And I'm so thankful for this time to be able to talk with you and actually even to go deeper into the I have another interview, and I'm just so honored to be on your program, and I feel your passion for children, and I would encourage you to continue to speak out about things like TV and, you know, and your daughter, you know, Mommy, what's going to happen? You know, because sometimes, you know, I know you see a child, and you're like, I need to just take that child home. You know, I wish I could just take that child home, feed that child. But, you know, we can only do, that's the other thing I've learned in 30 years of pastoral ministry, we can only do what we can do. And we, you know, have to trust God that someone else will pick up their role and do what they have to do.
Yes, thank you. Now, your event is going to be on Friday the 28th. And
Friday, February 28th.
Yes, and it is an opportunity for us to be able to help you and assist you in doing what you've been doing. And we can do that by going to the website, which is www.dahcf.org.
Yes. Go right to the website. And if they can remember that, I'm DonaldHilliardJr.org, it'll take you to the website as well. But that direct website is dahcf.org. And it's at the Crossroads Theater, Livingston Avenue, New Brunswick, New Jersey. Reception starts at 6, and the show opens at 8 p.m., and we can make a difference.
Indeed. And as I told you before, I am coming to visit you at your church.
I'm going to look for you.
Okay.
I'm going to look for you. Make sure that I know you're there, and I'm going to acknowledge you and your program.
Oh, thank you. I will definitely be there. I wanted the weather to decide what it's going to do. And
Yeah, that's strange.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I will definitely be there bright and early. And wow. I'm sure I will enjoy myself immensely. Now, I'm not going to hold you because you said you have another interview scheduled.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes, I do.
So whenever you have the opportunity and you want to come back, because then the last time you were with us, we talked about the depression in the ministry.
Yes, another issue. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and if you ever want to come back to talk about those issues and issues like that, my microphone is always open to you.
I thank you so much. I thank you so much for this opportunity, and I bid you peace, and to all who will hear this broadcast, and keep up the very fine work that you're doing.
Thank you so much, and you have an amazing evening, and I'm sure your event will be stellar.
Thank you so much. Pray for us, please.
Yes, indeed. You have a good evening.
God bless. You too. Bye-bye.
Everyone, that was Bishop Donald Hilliard Jr. He joined us to inform us about his event that he's having, as he said, on February 28th, 2014. And it is going to be an amazing event. And all the details have been given to you. So listen to the broadcast if you missed some of it and catch it later. However, if you want to donate to him and his cause, it is the... it's a fundraising scholarship, fundraiser, please go to www.dahcf.org, and that's www.dahcf.org, and you'll be able to donate. He said, you know, to donate something just to help them to continue doing what it is that they need to do to help our future generation, our children. Now, that's the end of the show, and I also wanted to take this opportunity to, you know, let you know to come back tomorrow. We're going to be talking basketball. And it's really interesting how our lives tend to mesh and unfold and turn into things. The gentleman that's going to be on the show is Maurice Lewis. And it's so interesting that I knew Maurice's dad, and my sister knew Maurice's sister, and they went to high school together. And his sister is Dawn Lewis, Jaleesa from A Different World. And so he's actively involved in basketball, so he's going to be with us to talk about the league that he is the general manager of and tell us about what they do and their mission and how they're trying to help young men out there as well. So, you know, it's about us kind of reaching out, reaching back, and pulling up some people and pulling them along with us and allowing them to stand on our shoulders going forward. And then on Saturday, we will talk about your health. We're going to have Dr. Elaine Ferguson, and she has a book called Super Healing, and we're going to learn a lot more about our health and how we can take better care of ourselves. So with, on that note, I'm going to step away from the microphone for a few because I will be back again tomorrow at 8 p.m. And I wish you all a wonderful evening, and just be well and be safe. And we'll talk soon. Good night.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.